all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. We have a special guest today that's going to provide our listeners some information on toxic bases. But let me bring into the discussion Gavin P. Smith. Gavin, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much for having me, Jim. Appreciate it.
Well, we're glad to have you on to talk about something that you are the founder of, a website called Civilian Exposure. Tell us a little bit about that, and then I'll circle back to more about your background and experience that got you into this. But let's hook our audience here on why they should go look at Civilian Exposure.
Sure. Civilian Exposure is a nonprofit organization that I started in 2013. It's civilianexposure.org. It's basically a website and information designed to get the word out about toxic exposures and military-based contamination. And it's a bit of a personal mission for me because my father worked as a civilian employee for the Department of Defense at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, for around 25 years and passed of acute leukemia in 2008. Unbeknownst to him at the time, as well as myself and the rest of our family, we didn't know very much at all about what had happened at Camp Lejeune in terms of toxic groundwater contamination, and really didn't start to learn about it until, others have. My mother was watching a local newscast one evening and found out that something to the effect of water contamination, and for years, and it asked me about it and to look into it. And so that sparked my curiosity. I started to dig into what was out there myself and realized the information was few and far between. You know, there were lots of media reports and some places to go to and things like that, but to get familiar with it, it was a little tough. So once I got involved a little more, started to join in on a couple of community panels and ended up going to a few meetings down at the CDC in Atlanta, started talking to some government officials, started talking to some senators, that sort of thing, and started to really find out more about this issue. And when I did, I realized that my father's acute leukemia came from that contamination. In fact, I found out his records were part of one of the civilian mortality studies for Camp Lejeune. So once I found this out, and as you can imagine, it certainly changed my perspective on what took my father's life. But more importantly, it was just apparent to me that there needed to be some sort of organization, some sort of beacon, if you will, out there that would get the information out to the public, try to capture all of the moving parts that are going on in the news, or whether it's health conditions or legal or the veterans agencies or that sort of thing, and just condense it down into something that would be easily digestible, something where people could go to, take a look, figure it out, as much in layman terms as possible, to get the information they need to find out about it, so that people like myself and my family and the rest might learn a little sooner about what went on at Camp Lejeune and maybe be able to do something about it. And as I started this organization in 2013, it's grown on its own pretty steadily. And soon after digging in as much as I could with Lejeune, I really started to dig into the military-based contamination issue across the country and found out that, there's so many bases on the Superfund list for the EPA that I really began to discover that it's a systemic issue with the federal government, with military bases, and with contamination.
Well, you can really see, listeners, that Gavin has the passion for this. It comes out of his family. His father's experience at Camp Lejeune as a civilian employee of DOD. But let's back up. They didn't just run into a regular old North Carolina boy here when they tangled with you. You got a heck of a background to take on this particular task. Your undergraduate degree is from Wake Forest, and you have a master's from the College of William and Mary at an MBA level, and you've been a lot of time consulting in marketing, websites, all that kind of stuff. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to marketing, and then how that ended up happening to impact this mission that you're on with civilian exposure.
Absolutely. I grew up in North Carolina, as you said, and my dad worked at Lejeune. I went to school, went off to Wake Forest. Was originally going to be always dreamed to be, the Perry Mason corporate lawyer type, and ended up taking a big left-hand turn into media and ended up working in radio and television and journalism for about 12 to 15 years, including in the U.S. and even outside the U.S. At a few places. And so then after that, decided to go back and get more of the business mindset and the skills with that. So I decided to take on the MBA at William & Mary and then followed it up with the International Management and Marketing degree from Thunderbird School of Global Management in Arizona. I have really been working in media or some form of it or marketing pretty much most of my career. In fact, I've gotten more into the marketing side of media in addition to the performance side and the management side. And so I've worked a lot with tons of clients and helping with media and marketing and websites and advertising, digital and social media, you name it. And so it just seemed apparent to me that with all of that in my toolbox, so to speak, I just thought, maybe I could I didn't know exactly how to put myself to use on this issue. And I thought, well, this might be the best way for me to do that. And that would be to, put my skills to the test, throw the website out, do a lot of content marketing, a lot of outreach, a lot of digital marketing, and just pour all of those skills into this effort.
And one of the things we should remind readers, we're sitting here now in 2017, and the recognition of the problems associated with Camp Lejeune drinking water has been moved a lot in the last year or two. But when you started on this problem, when it first came to your attention and you set up civilian exposure in late 2013, there was a pretty big hill to climb, wasn't there?
Well, there was. I mean, there were people that were working on this issue, for quite many years in terms of for the military and then for, certain groups. But, setting that aside, just from doing a media, I wanted to approach this more of almost like a nonprofit news outlet in the sense of a real newspaper journalism media site and turn it into a beacon for people to find online. Because the biggest problem was that a lot of the media that was out there, it was great coverage, but it was dispersed. It was all over the place. It wasn't so organized and kept in one place and really pushed over and over and over again. The other part of it was that a lot of people out there, I kept running into people, even here in North Carolina, even in my own neighborhood, that had fathers or sisters or brothers. They were Marines at Lejeune or had been at other bases or they were civilian employees, and still to this day had not heard much about what had happened at Lejeune, didn't know what to do about it, didn't know where to start. And so I wanted to try to aggregate as much information as I could into one centralized spot and then ping that out as much as I could and to go about trying to find other people out there, too, that may yet to know about it. Because you have to realize that not everybody's right around Camp Lejeune. They've all dispersed. They've been to multiple bases or they've worked at multiple locations or they've retired and moved across the country or out of the country. So try to deploy social and search media and the rest of it just to try to see just how much of a reach we could get.
I think we are capturing one of those things, Gavin, that's really important, which is they tend to be local stories, right? They tend to be a story around this Air Force base or this Army fort or whatever. And there might be a local story on it, but it just sort of dies there. There isn't a place for that information to get aggregated and real, and somebody to step back and see the bigger picture.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing. When I first started this, I was very much focused on Lejeune, obviously for personal reasons, but that didn't take long. Once I started to really dig in, and then people would start to send emails in. I get a lot of people. I do a weekly newsletter as well with updates on not only Lejeune, but other bases that we find. And I take a lot of reader feedback because a lot of the stories that I post up, a lot of the information and research that I do is driven by those who are readers. So I get a lot of research ideas and topics from others. And so I started hearing from people at places like Wurtsmith and McGuire and Pendleton and McClellan and El Toro and just a variety of bases across the country. And so as soon as I started to look at all of those, then I began to see the very large list of sites at one time or another that were listed by the EPA as a Superfund site for chemical contamination and cleanup. So then as I start to research all of these places, you start to see patterns. And as you said, they in isolation, they're little communities around the bases, each base. But when you look at the broad picture, several chemicals start to show up in a pattern. TCE, PCE, vinyl chloride, benzene were the big ones at Camp Lejeune, but they're big at other bases as well, TCE especially, because a lot of the usages of chemicals and solvents and things like that, it was just systemic. It was government-wide across bases. So if there were lapses or errors at one base, obviously there'd probably be other, at others as well. And one of the emerging issues I've seen over the past year is, and you've probably seen or read about it in the news, is about firefighting foams. That's another chemical, PFOA, PFOS, that has been used by the government in their base firefighting foams is now also becoming an emerging chemical of concern for possible contamination as well. And then you start to see that across other bases. And you don't just see it domestically. I've also had people who said, well, have you looked into Okinawa? Have you looked into Kadena Air Base and the six or seven provinces around the base that are experiencing community groundwater issues, bases in Germany? So very widespread. And so you begin to, when you put all that together, you understand that now it's not just one base. It's a system-wide issue. Camp Lejeune just happens to be the flagship and the tip of a very larger iceberg that no one can see if they're not looking at the bigger picture of all of it.
Oh, absolutely. And with so many of our Marines having gone through Camp Lejeune at one point or another, it really is kind of the poster child for, we sent some of our best and brightest young men and women here. Did we, follow through with the promises that we made? And this isn't to toss rocks at DOD or the Marine Corps or anybody else. It's just the reality of federal purchasing where that, those chemicals are being bought and used across all of the bases. Spills are happening, handling of materials are handling. And at some point, you just have to recognize that there were consequences to that level of chemical usage, and we should take care of people to where there were those consequences. I think one of your fact sheets indicates that there are over 150 bases today that are on the EPA Superfund list, which is the list of sites that are the most contaminated in the country. And to have federal facilities on that list in that fashion, somebody got exposed to all of that stuff. I think that those are the stories that that civilianexposure.org really captures.
Well, and you're exactly right. And one of the topics that came up in one of the emails I received recently was about, look at the lifetime of a service member, for example, or even a civilian worker that might get transferred around, but they moved to different bases, which means if you were at Pendleton and McClellan let's say Pendleton and Lejeune, or multiple bases, you could have been exposed in multiple ways. So then that just adds a complexity to the problem of figuring out what to do for folks that have been exposed. And so you think about it, the military members that were exposed, obviously that you definitely take care of them, but you also have civilian personnel. Then you have the families of the military members that live in base housing and are exposed to these contaminants. Then you have the children that were born on the base, exposed in utero, growing up with severe health conditions at an early age. I mean, it's widespread. It's not limited to one class of individual or group on a base. It's everybody. And it's not limited to one or two bases in the country. It's a majority of them. And so it's a really big issue. And I think as trying to bring all of those communities together and trying to provide a big umbrella of information really is the goal, to live up to our mission. And that's just simply to do what I wanted to do about my father's illness and about Lejeune, was to just to build awareness, build accountability, and build assistance. And so working on those three legs of the stool, so to speak.
Well, and I think there's reasons for hope that this effort will have a real impact on policymakers. We saw it with Agent Orange originally. You know, we were just sort of stuck in, well, it was only in Vietnam, you know, only boots on the ground sort of thing. And then over time, as the pressure built and the more information got out, people realized, well, it was also used in this country, and it was used, meaning the United States, it was also used in Thailand. It was, if you were exposed in the brown water, personally, I think the blue water Navy guys are getting screwed at the moment on this, but it does take time for the federal machine to sort of move off its position as it's now done in Lejeune and recognize that there are actual health concerns related to this exposure for which the consequences ought to be taken into account and appropriate both health care and compensation ought to be made. So I think your efforts will indeed, Gavin, and result in some of these other bases being recognized for these kinds of exposures. Do you get a chance to talk to Congress about these issues?
I do get to speak with some senators, spoken to some in the past for North Carolina and other states. But I think the main thing in that is, as you look at Congress, and there's always a give and take, right? They want to do certain things for veterans and for others, but there's also the cost component, right? So it always comes back to mitigating costs a bit, and also in the government bureaucracy. So to your point earlier about not to throw stones at the agency, I think that would be the wrong thing. There are good people I know in the DOD, there are good people in the VA, and there are good people, you know, at the CDC and others, and they have vested interest in helping, because some of them are former veterans and former civilian workers. So, I wouldn't disparage those. But I do think there's and I try to get this a bit in times with certain articles, there is a bureaucracy issue with the agency at the upper levels in terms of what to prioritize, how to communicate on these issues, how fast they're working to find everybody, to communicate frequently, to let people know, to give them opportunities, to give them a choice, to understand what's going on, what they can do about it. And then, as you said, provide some sort of adequate response or justice or something to where, okay, look, we may have a problem here, yes, but we're going to remedy it the best way we can and at least be proactive in it. And I think that's where this issue has gone off the rails a little bit in the past, is that I think some of the agencies are slow walking because they're just mitigating things because they're not sure where this is going to go. And so they're trying to, you know, get the best handle on it that they can. But at the same time, by hindering their communications and that sort of thing, it just makes the situation much worse rather than just addressing it from the very start.
Yeah, and I would think, and didn't know your father, but my guess is your dad, Bob Smith, who spent his, you know, civilian life working with DOD for 25 years, he, like many others, whether they be veterans or civilian employees, just wants somebody to say, yeah, you know what, that might have been a factor. You know, there's a certain amount of peace and calm that comes with, and we hear this all the time from our veterans, hey, I just want them to recognize it. I just want them to know that I'm not faking, I'm not making it up. I got exposed and had an impact.
Well, exactly. My father, he was actually in the Army as well, and fought in Korea for 2 years. And so he was a Korean War vet, and then went into private life, and then went to work at the base. And so I think, you know, my point is, you know, our service members and the rest, and even some of the civilian workers are veterans as well. And so they survive wartime, and they survive on the war front, and then they come home and they work on a base, and the issues that could be a threat to them, even if they're understood at the time, or even if it's slow to understand, as you said, sometimes the policies you use certain chemicals, that sort of thing, and they're not just not sure of it until a certain point. But once you hit that point, tell your people and not try to kind of parse it out. Because if my dad had learned in 81, 82, when they first started to figure it out at Lejeune, and, or even 1987, maybe he would have had a choice. That's my point. I think maybe he would have had a choice. Maybe he would have stayed on his job until 1998. But maybe he would have said, you know what, maybe I've been exposed to this stuff. Maybe it's time for me to get away from it. Maybe that might not have changed anything, frankly. We don't know. But I think folks that have been through what they've been through, they deserve to know the information. They deserve to have a choice as to what they can do. And the sooner you can get help to them and the sooner you can get information to them, the sooner they can be informed to start being proactive to make choices for their life to try to mitigate whatever happens from it as best as possible.
So one of the things I want our listeners on Veterans Radio to do is go to civilianexposure.org and take a look at this site. It's really well done. The information's excellent. And you've got a lot of different bases and sites and toxic chemical exposure issues curated, so the information's kind of right there. I've got it up. You've got something here on the Naval Weapons Station, Yorktown, Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, Agent Orange questions, Gulf War, brain cancer issues, Yuma Marine Corps Station in Arizona. So it's not all, you know, I don't want to leave the impression that I should only go to this site if I'm interested in Camp Lejeune. Maybe you could expand on how the site has expanded over time and morphed into this broader topic.
Hey, absolutely. In fact, that's exactly right, Jim. As I said, I started this with Lejeune in mind, obviously, but as I dug into this, I really found that with so many bases and people having so many questions, it just really deserved broader attention. And so, you know, there are so many questions that come up, and so this site continues to evolve. In fact, it's gone through a couple of iterations over the past 2 years because there are so many topics to cover. So you'll see, you know, we cover Lejeune as a primary thing because, as I said, it's kind of the flagship. What kind of happens with it tends to, happen with the rest of the issues, or at least paves the way as a precedent. So while Lejeune is the flagship, there's also, you know, health issues. So we try to take a closer look at the health conditions that certain exposures produce and what to look for to try to educate folks as much as possible on that. We take a look at questions about the science, what are the studies, what are some of the latest studies, what's going on, as well as try to get some information, basic information on claims, whether it's where to file, how to file, things to keep in mind, who to contact, that sort of thing. You know, then it comes up about legal questions because people want to know, well, where is the litigation for Lejeune involved? But then I also have people calling or emailing and asking about, well, I'm over in Texas. What should I do? Who should I talk to? So trying to provide those kind of resources as well, or at least some referrals. But then we have all sorts of other things. We put up video and audio and just try to stay on top of the news stories and try to aggregate all of it in one place.
Well, I really want to thank you, Gavin Smith, for honoring your father's service and his legacy and taking on this founding of this nonprofit website, civilianexposure.org. I want to encourage our listeners to go take a look at it and thank them for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to our podcasts and internet radio shows at veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.